Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori and my guest, Alex Maselli, founder of Morning Read, contributor at the Ryder Cup in Whistling Straits. And what a win for the U.S. of A. 19-9, the most points ever won in a Ryder Cup. Alex, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, my initial thoughts are I never thought that I would see this day in regards to an American team being so utterly dominant in all phases, all sessions. Even on Sunday when they didn't really need that many points in singles. It's just amazing. And 19-9 obviously it's pretty clear that it's a blowout, but you know, when the deficit is higher than the amount of points scored by the other team, that's pretty bad. And the question is how long can this go on? I think that's what we're looking at. Are we looking at a somewhat of a dynasty, or are we looking at just a one-off kind of situation? And there's no way to know that until we get to Rome in 2 years.
That's right. Well, in way of reference here, Europe had won 4 of the last 5, 7 of the last 9, 9 of the last 12. And the U.S. with this dominant victory, now 2 straight wins for the U.S. on home soil. So what are your thoughts about viewing perhaps this U.S. win as a continuing trend?
Yeah, I think that's what most people are thinking right now. But, you know, Annie, things change so quickly and so rapidly in this game. We have a lot of really good players that played really, really well. I mean, when you look at the fact that I think the average world ranking on the European side was 30 to 31, and our average ranking was 9, that on paper is pretty significant, but they have to show up. And we have been in situations where we have not shown up in the past, where we have let things get away, usually in the last 3 or 4 holes. And it's always been, you know, why can't we close it out? Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? This team did nothing but close out almost everything they looked at. And in cases where they were behind, they turned around and they flipped it. I look at DeChambeau and Scheffler yesterday, an important point that they got in 4-ball. So I think when you look at all that, you say, well, what could they do wrong? And with the infrastructure we have now in regards to players, and the talent level we have, I don't think there is anything we could do wrong. Nobody's in their 40s that was on this team. The oldest guy was Dustin Johnson, I think, at 37, 38. So, you know, when you take a look at that versus the Europeans, who had four or five players in their 40s, including a 48-year-old Lee Westwood, and that's a big difference. It's a huge difference, especially when you're playing, you know, 2 sets of matches on Friday and 2 sets of matches on Saturday. It just makes a big difference. And I think everything combined just showed you the domination that the Americans can have if they actually, you know, fulfill the requirements that they should when they get here.
Yeah, the average age of the U.S. Ryder Cup player was 29, certainly the youngest team ever. And there were only 2 guys on the American team to have played in more than, what, 1 or 2 Ryder Cups, DJ and Jordan Spieth. So what about the play of the rookies? Half the team were rookies, and just a phenomenal effort by them all.
Well, you know, last time we had six rookies, we won as well, which I think was in 08 with Paul Azenier at Valhalla. You know, these guys are not rookies. They don't play like rookies. They don't think like rookies. I mean, these young guys, Cantlay, Berger, their mindset going into singles play on Sunday was, let's step on their necks. That is not a rookie. And I think that permeated throughout the entire team. There was never a question in their mind if they were going to win on Sunday. The question was, could they set the record? That's what they were going for. And, you know, that kind of attitude is not an attitude you can teach. That is an inherent attitude inside of them. And that just continues. That will continue to be the case, I think, no matter what, going 2 years from now to Rome.
What about Dustin Johnson, 5-0, just a phenomenal performance by DJ.
Yeah, you know, not expected. DJ didn't even expect it. It's very hard to get to 5-0, not because you're not talented enough, but because you just get tired. It's a physical and mental grind out here for 5 matches. And to be able to even get to 5 matches, not that many people even play 5 matches, let alone play in 5 matches and win all 5. So I think that's one of the things that, if you had to do it over again, I'm sure Stricker would say, that's not really what I wanted to do. It's just how it worked itself out.
Yeah, the last American to go 5-0 in Ryder Cup action was Larry Nelson. So it's been a while. But listen, Captain Steve Stricker, a Wisconsin native, talk a little bit about his captain style and how much credit really goes to Steve Stricker.
Well, I don't know if there was a style per se. I think it was an idea of let's leave these guys to their own devices. If they want to do certain things that basically isn't illegal or immoral, we're going to let them do it. So case in point is when they wanted to sit there and drink beers on the first tee in the afternoon matches when they weren't playing, Stricker had no problem with that. That is something that you never would have seen in any other Ryder Cup. Tom Watson in 14 probably would not have let them be drinking at Glen Eagles, I can tell you that. So, I mean, it's just things that are different. This is a different group. It's a different era for golf. It's a different place for the Ryder Cup. And I think having Steve Stricker there, he embraced that. He let the players do what they wanted to do, embrace what they wanted, where they wanted to be. And at the same time, it's something that the Europeans are going to have to figure out. I think that there's a lot of things that the Europeans are going to learn from this that they're going to take back and they're going to sit down and try to dissect and figure out how to go about this, because they have been the ultimate planners over the last, like you said, their record is tremendous. And they've been the ultimate planners on trying to figure out exactly the best way to go about dealing with Ryder Cups. They were outmatched this week. You can't beat talent no matter how good your plan is. So they now have to figure out, A, keep the plan or most of the plan that they had, but B, they're gonna have to figure out how to get the best 12 players in Rome.
Alex, let's talk about Europe's highest ranked player, Rory McIlroy. He was benched the other morning, Saturday morning, for the first time ever since his Ryder Cup debut back in 2010. He did get the first point on the board in the singles matches for Europe. He had a 3-2 victory over Xander Schauffele, but boy, was he emotional in that post-match interview. I don't know if you heard it, but he was crying. He said it's been a tough week. He said this is the best event in golf. No greater privilege to be part of this Ryder Cup. He said, you know, he gave a lot of credit to everybody, really, the Americans and the European team. He let out a profanity and then he apologized for it. I mean, it was just a combination of everything. But boy, what are your thoughts about Rory McIlroy, who just really, until the singles match, did not show up?
Well, I mean, there's no question that Rory McIlroy is a class act. That's never been in question. You know, you got to remember back a ways when he said he didn't think the Ryder Cup was that big of a deal. And it's interesting how he's turned 180 degrees on that. And he knows that he was the guy coming in this week. He knew he was the person that a lot of the players were looking up to, especially the younger players, and he didn't get it done. And so I think that's a crushing thing when you know that no matter how hard you tried, and there's no question he tried very hard, no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't get it done. And you know, sometimes it just happens that way. This game, you know, this isn't basketball or darts or anything else. This game, you have very little control at times of what happens. And you hit that ball in the air and you hope that it bounces the right direction. You hope it lands and stops. Sometimes you hope it lands and releases. But you have very little control over what happens in this game. And they all know that. They play this game for a living. But when it goes wrong, like it did this week, everybody's got their eyes on you. You can't hide anywhere. It's not like you just missed the cut. You're in the cauldron for 3 days, no matter what. And people are going to talk about your ineffective performance when you're ineffective, and especially when you're Rory McIlroy. So it was very difficult, and it's understandable that he was so emotional about it afterwards.
And how bad of a loss is this for the European captain, Padraig Harrington?
Oh, I think it's got to be crushing. I think that, you know, there's no way in the world that Padraig Harrington thought he would come here and lose 19-9. He may have thought he was going to come here and lose. Of course, he wouldn't have communicated that to us. But he never thought he would lose 19-9. And he never thought his team was a team that could not produce at least, you know, 12, 13 points. I think that's what he thought this would end up happening to be, something like that. But when you just get bulldozed like he got bulldozed, you know, there's one thing you can say probably – even though I don't know if I agree with this, but I will say it anyways, that when you lose 19 to 9, there's probably nothing you could have done to affect the outcome. You would have still lost, maybe by less, maybe by a couple points less, but you still would have lost because it was clear which team was so much better than the other team. But that being said, you know, it's going to be a crushing thing for someone that has spent years and years and years playing Ryder Cup, being an assistant captain, being a vice captain, and getting his one shot to be the captain and failing, in this case, miserably.
Do you think he'll get another shot, perhaps as European captain in Rome 2023?
No. He won't get another shot. There are too many in the European pipeline for that. The question is, will Steve Stricker get another shot at Rome, and will he take the shot? There's many people that believe that with Tiger and Phil in the wings, but not really exactly ready to go, I think there are a lot of people think that Phil would go to Bethpage and then Tiger after that. There is a slot open for Rome for an American captain, and it would be hard to believe that if you want to win, that you wouldn't take Steve Stricker as your captain.
Perhaps one and done for Steve Stricker is the way to go, particularly with such a record-breaking performance.
Well, if you're Steve Stricker, I think that's probably true because it's not, you know, he's a kind of a different cat. But if you're looking at what's best for the American team, then you try to convince Steve Stricker to be here for Rome in 2 years.
Let's talk about some of the American players, Alex. Scottie Scheffler gets the 12th point on the board, the first actual point in the singles matches for the Americans. He beats number one ranked John Rahm. And Scottie, you know, he truly is a Ryder Cup rookie, right? But I mean, obviously he's had just incredible success, but has a lot yet to do as a professional for sure. What are your thoughts about Scottie's play?
Well, I think not that Scottie didn't play well, because he did, but I think you have to look at the other part of that equation. You look at John Rahm, who played in 5 matches, and that just shows you he's in the world number one. Playing in 5 matches takes it out of you. And Scottie has shown that not only did he belong here when Steve Stricker picked him, but he's also shown that there's no question he will be extremely successful on the PGA Tour. He's still trying to get his first win out on the tour, but I think everything that happened this week will only bolster that for him and buoyed him not only in his play, in his team's eyes, which they already knew how good he was, but maybe even in fans' eyes. They did not know how good Scottie Scheffler was until they saw him this week.
We knew how great Patrick Cantlay is, right? He beat Shane Lowry 4-2 to make it 13-6 at that point. Your thoughts on that match?
Well, I think what's interesting about Cantlay is that he was strong throughout, and he's kind of like, he's come into his own over the last month to 6 weeks. He's more talkative. He's more insightful. He clearly wanted to beat Shane Lowry. I mean, there was no question that he didn't want to only beat him. He wanted to bury him. And you could see it by his actions on the golf course. And he did exactly that. He never let Shane up for air. And he was one of those guys that wanted to basically set the stage for the Americans being the best, the highest point getters ever since the Europeans have joined the Ryder Cup. So, you know, they accomplished that goal, and he was a big part of it.
And Bryson DeChambeau eagling the very first hole. Talk about sending a message. He had 4 birdies. He went on to beat, you know, the great Ryder Cup European player, Sergio Garcia, 3-2. That was huge for Bryson.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Bryson, and I'd written something in Morning Read earlier this week, he is the absolutely only needle mover on this tour. He is the guy. Everything he does, good or bad, everybody focuses on. When he walks up to the tee, it's electric. It doesn't matter if you're in Vegas, if you're in Mexico, if you're at the Ryder Cup, if you're at the U.S. Open, everything he does is electric. And so for him to come here after all that Bryson Brooks stuff, and to come here and be so successful, even though he was not successful in France, just shows you what he's got. And I think, again, like Cantlay, or rather like Scheffler, he's going to be buoyed by this performance and really is going to continue to do more and more on the PGA Tour. And winning majors is what he's there for. And there's no question that something like this and what happened here is going to make the difference for him in some cases.
The camera showed Brooks Koepka hugging Bryson DeChambeau. He went over there and shook his hand, gave him a quick hug. Do you think that confrontational relationship might be over, or do you think it will resume once this?
No, I think it's over. As long as we don't continue to stir it up, it's definitely over. I don't think either of them want anything to do with that going forward. And I think the tour is now understanding where they may have not been in the beginning. They are understanding now that it's not beneficial for them to continue on that line of conversation. So I think that that is forever gone.
Jordan Spieth, Alex, tying with Tommy Fleetwood. I really, really wanted Jordan Spieth to win that match. He has not won a singles match in his Ryder Cup career. Your thoughts on Jordan Spieth?
Didn't have a very good Ryder Cup. And it's interesting because, you know, when he was paired with Thomas, you would have thought that there was at least 2 points in foursome together, and they didn't really do anything. And then Spieth missed. I can't even think of how many putts he missed yesterday when playing with Koepka and four ball. That would have made the difference in the match by far. And then even today, just made missed putts. So, you know, as good as Jordan Spieth is as a person, as good as he is as a player, he really didn't have a very good Ryder Cup this year.
Two more questions, Alex. Your thoughts on Whistling Straits as a Ryder Cup venue? I just thought it was beautiful and probably the best venue ever so far. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's certainly a good venue. And it was, I thought it would be advantageous to the Europeans, but it ended up being advantageous to the Americans, which is kind of odd. But I think Stricker had it right when he said he wanted guys with length. And it's a big boys golf course. And you need to have length here to be successful. And the Americans had that length. And I think the golf course itself, even though it's a bit quirky at times and you get kind of some odd situations, especially in the bunkers and in the rough, I think all in all, most of the players enjoyed the experience.
How does this Ryder Cup compare to all the other Ryder Cups you've covered? How would you rate it?
Well, 99 was the best one that I ever experienced. And I've been to, I think this is like my 13th in a row. This was certainly in the top five. Where it is in the top five, I can't say. I can always tell you that 99 has been the best. I can tell you that if you're a European, this is probably one of your worst experiences ever. Just like for an American, Oakland Hills is one of our worst experiences ever, where it was done before it even started, it seemed like. So, you know, I think, being the point setter that it was, the record setter that it was, I should say, I think that puts it up there. And I think it's really when you start looking, you know, look back 50 years from now at these Ryder Cups, you're going to see that this was a demarcation line for the Americans. This is where the Ryder Cup changed to some extent. And we'll see where it goes from here. But I think it's definitely a change from where it used to be.
Well, that 99 Battle Brookline was my first Ryder Cup. Very, very special. I would agree with you, Alex. I can't thank you enough. I know you have to head to the locker room, the interview room, I should say, of the winning team. So I appreciate the time and continued success.
Thanks, Annie.
Alex Maselli, founder and contributor to Morning.